as well as the name of the portion. So Devarim, we call in Hebrew, it's word, because it's what comes from the first portion, the first couple of words out of that portion. Deuteronomy comes from a Greek word that means second law or retelling of the law. And when we think of Deuteronomy, for most of us, when we think of Deuteronomy, it's just that, the second telling of the same law. All the things we heard previously in the previous four books of Torah, we're hearing again. We think of it as just a review of Adonai's plans and actions up to that point, the preparing, the teaching of us as a people and as a nation. But it's actually so much more as you read through it. It has a lot of new things in it to add into Torah as well. And they appear in the New Covenant quite frequently. In fact, there are 70 new laws that are added through the book of Deuteronomy. So it's not just a review. And of the five books of Torah, it actually is the most quoted by Yeshua. So there's a reason to look at it. It's not just skim over, I've read it all before, I've heard it all before. There are reasons for the book. Now, at the end of Numbers, just before this, Israel's about to enter the land, right? They're right on the edge. They're just about, you can almost see their foot is picking up as they're about to walk forward. And all of a sudden, Moses says, wait, it's time for a testimony. Let me tell you about our history. Now, in reality, for the Israel who is on the just in the Transjordan, ready to cross over the river to get into what they had known as the Promised Land, you know, Moses, it's said that Moses' Deuteronomy speeches was either three separate speeches or perhaps even just one speech, one lesson, one drash throughout, and then they're ready to go. So it really wasn't that long that Moses said, wait, let's do a teaching now. For us, it's about 3 months. You know, we have to wait for them to go in. So what is Deuteronomy, though? It really is just a testimony of Adonai's love and provisions. So let's take a look, and I'm going to start here in Deuteronomy 2:7. Deuteronomy 2:7 says, for Adonai your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He has known your wanderings through his great wilderness. These 40 years Adonai your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. So we're called as Adonai's people to remember what he's done and what he's promised. And we're told to remember not just here, but in other places within Scripture as well. Because that is how we move forward. You really can't move forward without remembering where you've been. So let's take a look at Psalm 77. David says, I will remember the deeds of Adonai. Yes, I will muse about your wonders of old. I will meditate also on all your works and consider your deeds. O God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made your powers known among the people. We're not only to remember what Adonai has done, but we're told to tell others what he's done and let them know so that they can tell others. That knowledge of who Adonai is not just to be our own little treasure in our hearts, but it's to be shared. It's not to be hidden away. It's to tell that good news of who Adonai is. It's not to end with us. Psalm 145. It's a praise of It's a psalm of praise of David. It says, I will exalt you, my God, the King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is Adonai and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation will praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. We tell of Adonai from generation to generation. Vador, Lador. Lador, Vador. Generation to generation. We pass it on to the next generation and they take it and they pass it on. This is why we tell our testimony and why we should tell and why we should tell our testimony so that the knowledge of Adonai doesn't stop here. I mean, if he really wanted to, he can make himself known throughout and we wouldn't have to do anything. We could just sit back. But that's not his plan. His plan is for us to go forth and tell of who he is. And that's what Moses was doing at the beginning of Deuteronomy. He was telling the testimony of Israel. All he was doing, you say, is retelling history. That's all your testimony really is. Your testimony really is just your history. Now, many people look at the beginning of Deuteronomy and they want to point to it and say, look, here's proof. Scripture's not real because you can compare these two scriptures and they don't match exactly. They'll take a look at Exodus 18:13 and compare it to Deuteronomy 1:9 about the spies. And they say, look, the stories just don't line up. Here it says that Moses' father, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, told them to set up the judges. I'm sorry, I'm talking about the judges here, not the spies yet. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, told them to set up the judges. But when we read in Deuteronomy, it says Adonai told him to set up the judges. And people want to point at that and say, look, it doesn't match. Well, I'd say it does match up. It doesn't mean, just because he tells it in two different ways, it doesn't mean that the same thing didn't happen. He's just told it from two different points of view. You know, couldn't it be that Jethro told Moses, you know, you should be setting up judges so that you're not overburdened yourself? And doesn't, I believe it says in Scripture, I don't have it here, but Jethro says, if God wants it to be. So what do you think Moses did? I'm sure Moses went to Adonai in prayer, and Adonai gave him the plan, fleshed out the plan, gave his approval on it. So no, they're not really two different things. And how about Numbers 13 versus Deuteronomy 1:22, the telling of the spies? You know, in one place it says that Adonai told them to send out the spies. In another place, it says that the people pressed Moses into sending out the spies. Maybe it's the same story told in two different points of view. I don't say that they're totally impossible that they both happened. It's just the same story, same testimony told in different ways. Doesn't mean neither one of them is true. It means both of them are true, in fact. So this is what we're told to do, is to give our testimony and give it just as a history. And don't lie about it. You know, some people want to build it up and make it bigger than it really is. It doesn't need to be. Your testimony is perfect, just the way it is. You know, some will say, well, Moses changed details. No, Moses didn't change detail. He may have changed the way he told it to different audiences, but the details are still there. Maybe it's because the people needed to hear it in a different way. Not that, you know, you know, this, they were here, so they needed to hear it this way. Now they're here, so they need to hear it this way. This time it was important to include these details. This time it's important to include these details. Doesn't mean that he's telling a testimony that's true and untrue. It means you maintain your testimony, though. Now, there's a funny thing about Deuteronomy. Nachmanides is a Jewish sage in the 12th century of Spain. And he states that Deuteronomy may not be quite as sacred of a text as the other four books. Could you imagine that? Here's a rabbi who says one of the books of Torah is not as sacred as the other four. And he says it because it appears that Deuteronomy has this element of human interpretation, he puts it. An element of human interpretation. Well, first of all, how much more so the oral Torah? That's all interpretation. So, you know, if you're going to say that, let's just, rabbis, let's put aside the oral law. Okay. But that's true. It's an element of human interpretation to say which of the details to include. It doesn't mean it's an element of interpretation to change the details or to change the testimony of what's actually happening. And I would say about this element of human interpretation, maybe there's a little rabbit trail. It's all the more true about our own memories as well. Especially when you're comparing it with someone else's memory of the same event. You come upon this event and you both are looking at it from a slightly different angle. Sometimes from a directly opposite angle. And it looks different. But it's still the same event. Now, I got to say for myself, you will very, very rarely hear me say, this is the way I remember it, and that's it. I will say, this is the way I remember it about something. And I've been with people who say, well, you remember it that way, I remember it this way, so you're wrong. Well, I wish I could, you know, I don't think you can trust anyone's memory that much. But, and I may lose some arguments, and people may see me as weak when I do this, but the truth is, Adonai's will is going to have out at the end. And it's normally just not that important to win every argument. So, it's okay if I look wrong every once in a while. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So, I would just, on this little rabbit trail, say, you know, don't always think of yourself as having that perfect memory and this is what I'm basing it on and this is what's right. You know? I'm just saying. Now, giving a testimony really is a very Jewish thing we're seeing out of Deuteronomy. You know, I know the church world seems to have appropriated the word testimony, right? That's a very churchy thing to say. I'm going to testify. And maybe I'm doing it because I've seen it in movies. But testifying really is very Jewish. Look what it says out in Exodus 13:8. You are to tell your sons on that day, saying, it is because of what Adonai did for me when I came out of Egypt. So it will be like a sign on your hand and a reminder between your eyes, so that the Torah of Adonai may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand Adonai has brought you out of Egypt. What we're really reading here is just a testimony. It's just a testimony of the Jewish people and what Adonai has done for them. And that testimony, as I said before, is really just a retelling of history. It's why you give your testimony as really just a history. Because who can say, if I tell someone, as I do when I tell my testimony of how I came to faith, I had a dream, God was in my dream, and he told me this. Who are they to say that I didn't have a dream? Who are they to say it wasn't God who met me in my dream? Who are they to say God didn't say that? You can't. You weren't there. So you can't say that. It's my history to tell. Your testimony is your history to tell. If we look forward to Passover, Seder, we see that really the whole Seder is nothing but one big testimony of Adonai's greatness that we share with others and ourselves. There are parts that, as we read from the Haggadah, which tell us to testify of Adonai's greatness, and so that others who are hearing it would know, and others who already know would be built up. You know, after we have one of the young children ask the four questions, what does the congregation say? It says, because we were slaves unto Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Eternal our God brought us forth thence with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. It's a testimony. And then later in the Seder, we have this paragraph read. In every generation, each individual is bound to regard himself as if he had gone personally forth from Egypt, as it is said, and thou shalt relate to thy son on that day, saying, this is on account of what the Eternal did for me when I went forth from Egypt. Thus it was not our ancestors alone, whom the Most Holy, blessed be he, then redeemed, but us also did he redeem with them, as it is said, and he brought us forth thence in order to bring us in, that he might give us the land which he swore unto our ancestors. We read in the Haggadah that we are to retell the story, relate it, and it's not just to our sons, even though it says to our sons, it's to our sons and our daughters and our parents and our neighbors and anyone who's going to hear it of who Adonai is and what his greatness is all about. That's what the night of Passover is, telling about his greatness, how he saved the nation. It's a history lesson. It's just a history lesson. Just a history lesson. It's a great history lesson, though. It's so much more than even just a history lesson, even as I call it just a history lesson. We're called to tell each other of the time which we came out of Egypt, because it says we came forth. That's why it says, and thou shalt relate to thy son and daughter, saying, this is the account of what the Eternal did for me when I went forth from Egypt. Whether you're Jewish or Gentile, when you read through the events of the Passover, you're going through it with the people of history. You have the same history. That's the reason we tell it, so that the hearer would be encouraged, and that they would be encouraged and moved to look at Yeshua and Adonai. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on the one in whom they have not heard? Now let me try that again. How then shall they call on the one in whom they have not trusted? And how shall they trust in the one they have not heard of? And how shall they hear without someone proclaiming? And as you may have heard me say before, it's not just ourselves that go out and do this. But Yeshua sent the Ruach HaKodesh for to come with us as we go to witness. He's in our heart, and that's part of what we share, is what he's bringing forth in us to share. It's by his power that we go out into the world to testify of what he's done. Look what Yeshua says in Acts, in the first chapter of Acts. He, Yeshua, said to them, "It is not your place to know the time and seasons which the Father has placed under his control, but you will receive power from the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and through all Judah and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We will receive that power. We will receive even the words in our mouth to speak out by the Ruach HaKodesh who's within us and with us and calling us to go forward. And we are to call out to the ends of the earth. Now, some would say, they look around and they say either, we're so far from Jerusalem, this is the end of the earth. Others would say, there's so much sin in the world, this is the end of the earth. And they're both right. Wherever you are, it's the end of the earth. Whenever you are, it's the end of the earth. Because, first of all, you don't know how much time is left. Not in your life and not in the life of the earth. His coming will be like a thief in the night. It will just happen. Either way, we're called to go out and testify of who he is and what he's done for us. And we're not to worry about whether we see immediate results. That's not what we're called to do. We're not called to do something and then just stare at it and wait and wait. Come on, come on. That's not who we're called to do. Look what Corinthians 6:1 says, 2 Corinthians 6:1. "Since we are co-laborers, we are also urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." We're called co-laborers when we go out in God's field. Who do we co-labor with? Each other. Yes, each other. Even though you may be there alone, you're probably not the first person who shared the gospel with that person, I hope. Maybe you are the first person who shared the gospel with that person. And then maybe someone else, after you planted the seed, will come along and water. Or maybe you're the one who's doing the watering. We co-labor with each other, even though we're not there at the same time. But not just with each other. We're co-laborers with Adonai and Ruach HaKodesh. 1 Corinthians 3:7. "So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Now he who plants and he who waters works as one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building." So when we, as I said, when you plant that seed or you water it, you don't just stare over it and wait. And I know if it's that loved one you're speaking to, you really do want to stand over him and wait and see him blossom and see him grow and see him accept. Sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes it doesn't. But we do know that as co-laborers with Adonai, the Ruach will work on him or her. We're all called just to tell our history. Some of us think we have nothing. We don't have a great testimony. We don't have a great history. Our history is not just what's happened in our life. Our history truly is what Yeshua has done for us all the way back. Our history truly is what Adonai has done all the way back to the Exodus and beyond. That's part of our history. Because that's when Adonai put into place the plan so that our history is being fulfilled today. That's when he put into plan the blood sacrifices so that Yeshua could shed his blood for us, so he could die on the stake for us. That's why we are where we are today, because we knew that history. So what do? We tell our testimony with that history. Because, quite frankly, your testimony, your history, if you leave that out, is not a true testimony to him. It's a testimony to you. You have to include him as part of your testimony to bring people to him. And as I started out with, you can't just include your good news, your good testimony. Because what happens? Hey, I was a pretty good guy before Adonai came and showed me who Yeshua was. We're sinners now. We were sinners then. Some of us have a better testimony because they can tell of their history. I was lost. I was drinking. I was doing this. I was carousing. And it's by the blood of Messiah Yeshua that I've been washed clean and those sins are behind me. And I am now saved. And it's by his righteousness that I live. So our history starts with Adonai had a plan for the world. And it was always by blood that we're going to be atoned for. But that our sins are going to be, our sins are going to be washed clean, atoned for. I had a history that I was a sinner. I cursed, I drank. I was out. I did things, you know, that I'm not proud of. But by the blood of Messiah, he put someone in my path who told me their history, which includes a Messiah who loved so much that he died for each and every one of us. Loved so much that he hung on a stake, that his blood was spilled so that it would atone for my sins. And he'll atone for your sins too, because he loves the world so much. It's true because it's already written in the history. It's already written in Leviticus 17 that it's the blood that makes atonement for us. It's true because it's already been written in Isaiah 53 that we're going to have a Messiah who is suffering for us, who suffered for us. It's true because I know I was there and he lifted me out of the gutter. That's how you can know it's true too. That's all we need to do is tell our history. People make it sound complicated by, you know, testimony. It's got to be a great testimony. It just has to be the true testimony. It just has to be your truth. That's all it needs to be. Because if it's your truth, then it's true. If it's Adonai's truth, it's definitely true. And when we water it, or if we're the one planting the seed, we don't have to stand over it and wait. We've put it into the hands of the Ruach HaKodesh for him to soften hearts and remove veil from eyes. We just have to be in the right place at the right time. How do we know what's the right place at the right time? We don't. So we put ourselves in every place, in every time, and we speak of his love and his mercy. And we speak of his blood and his sacrifice at all times so that if it's the right time, there we are. Ours is not the time to try to guess what the right time is. I don't perceive he's ready, so I'm not going to testify to him. I'm not going to give my testimony to him because, he just doesn't look ready yet. That's not for us to tell. So we give it to everybody, and we give it freely, and we give it lovingly. That's who we're called to be, just to give our history. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that you've entrusted with us your history, and you've made it part of our history. And then our lives are stacked on top of that as a continuing testimony in history of your love that includes your being sinless as Messiah Yeshua walking the earth. And your love being paramount in that you died for my sins. Your blood was spilt because of the price that I should have paid for my sins, but you paid them for me. And it was your blood that was spilt in my place that cleanses me, atones me, gives me atonement so that I can come close to you again, Messiah Yeshua Adonai. Help each and every one of us to speak your history to a lost and dying world at every opportunity. And give us those opportunities, Adonai. Ruach HaKodesh, show us them. Open our eyes so that we can see every single opportunity that you present to us. And we may speak of them, speak during those opportunities boldly of who we were, who you are, who you were, who I've become, and who you always will be. We just thank you for who you were, Adonai Almighty, the one who created. Who you were, the Messiah, who lived a sinless life to die for my sin. And who I am, a sinner who has been cleansed by the blood, so that I have assurance, as long as I continue my race, that I will have a place before the throne. And that is a guarantee for each and every person who accepts Messiah Yeshua and continues his race. We just thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that you've given this into our hearts, that you've given it to the world, and then given us a place to go out and speak it. A place in your world that you created. We just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.